you very much, Mr. Carlisle. Now, for the first message this Sabbath, we're going to hear from a man serving in the Las Vegas church. This man always presents himself as a very friendly person that always makes everybody feel welcome to Sabbath services in the Las Vegas church. And that man giving the first message today is Mr. Charles Taylor.
I want to thank Mr. Sharp for that introduction. I thought you were talking about somebody else at first. But anyway, I'm glad to be able to talk to you today. Anyway, you know, those of us who read the Bible and understand God's truth, we know that what God is doing is preparing a people to serve now and in his holy kingdom. If we look at the scriptures, we can see and really consider what God is doing. And in 2 Peter, one of the headings over the third chapter of 2 Peter is the day of the Lord will come. And that's what Peter is talking about in the third chapter. But if we really consider what God is doing and his purpose, we can see that he is in a process of making his creation perfect. Now, the day of the Lord is coming because of the problems that exist in the world, and those problems are sin. So God has to correct those things. And we've all been touched by that at one time or another, and even now today, those who are called and chosen still sometimes make mistakes, but we repent of it. So God is in the process of making his creation perfect. You know, we don't know or have ever seen perfection except by the example of Jesus Christ. When God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, he looked after finishing it and said that it was very good. Even man was said to be very good, but he was not yet tried and tested. It's like making a beautiful chair. It's well designed as far as outward appearance and color, but it doesn't hold up when you sit in it and you fall to the ground. Man was of a great design and was made after the God kind. His potential was endless, but not as yet tested. Both male and female was educated in what God wanted, and God and had the ability to listen to God and to ask him questions. But when they were left to make decisions, the testing part of the creation, they failed. And then they failed miserably. So much so that God regretted what he had done and recorded thoughts of changing directions. And you can read that in Genesis, the sixth chapter, where God was talking about man. And he said, when God saw the wickedness of man was, and that all his thoughts were evil, and regretted even creating man, and decided to destroy them and to start all over again. That's in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 7. They failed the test, but God's purpose will stand. Everything between man's fall in Genesis and the events of Revelation shows the results of man's decisions and his fall and the actions God has taken to fulfill his original purpose. The earth would be filled with the righteous family of God, and you, brethren, and I are to make up that family. Everything God is doing is to prepare us for this purpose. Now, 2 Peter 3:13 is a very important chapter, as all of them are, but 2 Peter shows what God will do with those he is shaping and forming into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. So turn your Bibles to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. You know, in verse 1, he said, "Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder." See, Peter is trying to remind us of what we already should know, that God has made a promise, that the day of the Lord is coming, and is coming for a purpose of purifying the earth and purifying man, because man has fallen into deep sin. And he said there will be scoffers, people that don't believe. You know, we've seen this coronavirus come, and it scared some people half out of their wits. But remember that God is in charge. And it goes to show that those of us who know the scriptures, that God promised that these things were going to occur, not so much the coronavirus, but we were going to have problems and difficulties. And it shows how quickly these things can occur. I mean, it seems that this virus occurred almost overnight. Actually, before we even knew it, it was already here. And so 2 Peter 3 shows what to expect during that time. Now, it's hard to believe that the wickedness of man can get any worse than it is now, but I suppose according to what God is saying, it will. And verse 2 says that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. And as he goes on to say about those people, that the type of attitude the people have and exist during that time. And he says that God's promise will stand, the day of the Lord is coming. The Lord, in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You know, it's almost, you can kind of see how that could occur. When this virus came, nobody knew what was going on. When we were warned about it, it was already kind of late. He says, he comes as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away and with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? We are to prepare ourselves to serve in God's kingdom. The day of the Lord is coming, and it's going to purify this earth, and it's going to purify all things that sin would not exist anymore. And God is creating, he says in verse 13, which is the major part of this message, that nevertheless, he said, even though this trouble is going to come, even though these things will occur and it's going to be a terrible situation, he said, nevertheless, we, talking about Christians, those who follow Jesus Christ, according to his promise, and that's what we base this on, that's what we base our hope on and our beliefs, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth. And the important part of this verse is, in which righteousness dwells. Nothing will be on the new heaven, in the new heavens, or on the new earth, but that which is righteous. And God is in the process of preparing us to dwell in righteousness. He's creating righteousness in us. You know, this shows that God will do with those he is shaping and forming into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. He will cause them to dwell in righteousness, and with the effects of righteous living, will cause life to be lived in quietness and peacefulness for all. And prosperity shall spread. And we shall be the ones causing this to occur. Under the authority and rulership of the King of Righteousness, Jesus Christ, the elder brother of our family. God is forming a holy community of people from the inside out. And the stress that this preparation puts on people is great. It puts everyone who is being formed is incredible, that stress. The purification process for us to become like righteous God will and is causing the heart to be revealed. When this stress is placed on us, it causes us, our heart to be revealed. As Jesus Christ said to those who followed him, he said, will you also leave me because you are placed in an uncomfortable situation? will you continue to follow me, believing and trusting in me, no matter what you have to suffer? As Romans 8:18 says, that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that should be revealed in us. So whatever we have to go through now is nothing compared to what we shall receive. And Jesus Christ wanted to know, are those people that were following him, are they going to leave him? Just because they have to go through things. When God is finished, there will be justice and righteousness practiced as a way of life in all the land, in all the earth, in the new heaven, on the new earth, in quietness and assurance forever. And all the world will be in secure dwelling places. I want to turn to Isaiah 32:16. He said, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. That's not now. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. This will be on the new earth, the one where only righteousness dwells. Once God is finished with us, and there will be no doubt where our Lord is at. And if you and I can be trusted with the immense power of God, God would not trust anyone that has not been proven and prepared for righteousness with that great power. You know, Christians suffer pain and anguish at the same time that they serve Almighty God. Yet they must continue on. You know, Paul said that in his weakness, God was made strong. God's power and authority becomes more visible and evident when someone can do the incredible things God needs them to do, even though their outside appearance seems weak and frail. As David said before, I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your law. That's in Psalms 119:67. Now, you know, that affliction David was talking about could be any kind of affliction or trial. And it caused David to be humbled. And he states that he had went off track. He had began to do wrong and transgress. He forgot his moral duty and fell into sin. He departed from what was right. He embraced erroneous views. He began to forget his duty and neglect God. And prosperity had not led him to fulfill his responsibility. He was prospering, but it didn't cause him to change and to trust in God. So many times, brethren, affliction becomes a necessary part to get us and keep us on track. Therefore, it returns one to true north and keeps you and I on the path of righteousness. Not so much so that affliction has come upon us because we've sinned. That's not it. It's just that affliction causes us to focus on God more, which is where our focus should be. And David said before he was afflicted, before he had those trials he was having, he had went astray. But now, after that, he keeps God's love. You know, Epaphroditus was one of Paul's fellow servants, and it indicates that he was a apostle. He was sick, and it indicates here that he was not healed by a miracle, that God didn't perform a miracle to heal him. He suffered through it. Matter of fact, he almost died, but he wanted to continue to serve, that we must, and that the power of healing the sick was only occasionally placed on the apostles. The apostles didn't get healed just because they were an apostle. Healing from a miracle from God didn't always come. They had to go through the process. That was part of the purification process, part of the preparation. But he and others felt a duty and responsibility to God to continue on. He forged ahead and he did God's work. Sometimes we have to pause them. Sometimes because of our condition, as Trophimus in 2 Timothy did, we continue to serve by prayer and other ways that the body of Christ may become perfect. You see, when we serve and we suffer and we do our duty and responsibility and we pray for others, it causes us to be a better person, a more useful tool in God's hand. And we continue to serve by prayer so that through our concern for each other, we develop the compassion and show love for one another, which is also a part of what God is creating in us. That's part of preparation. The clay that God is forming will be a perfect image of Jesus Christ without question, because the Father will settle for nothing less. You know, Joel went through a worse process than anyone except Jesus Christ. God began to work with him to reveal his heart. He was placed under such stressful situations, time after time, even though God pronounced this man blameless and upright, he needed to be tested to reveal any flaws in his heart. God was forming him into a holy and trustworthy vessel that could be entrusted with awesome God power. Job revealed his correct understanding of what God was doing with him and what he would do with each of us, but in different ways. When Job said that God will have a desire to see his finished product in his kingdom, he will desire the work of his hands. So whatever we suffer now, whatever we have to go through, whatever trials we have to endure now, is part of making us into that holy, trustworthy member of his family. So as we forge ahead to meet the firstborn of our family, Jesus Christ, let us live in service and obedience to God our Father, being refreshed by the Sabbath in order to continue on and be rejuvenated with zeal to move forward, being shaped into a perfect man, so that on that new heaven and that new earth, we'll be there with it, where only righteousness dwells, which is the key point. Only righteousness would dwell there, which is what God is doing with each of us. The trials and tests that we go through, the virus that has hit this nation and all around the world, all the things that happen are allowed by God. And everything that God allows us to go through is for a purpose, a good purpose for us, and it's to bring man to repentance. So, as it says in the last part of Proverbs 10:30, that the wicked will not inherit the earth. But in the first part it says, the righteous should never be removed. And so therefore, let our Father do his work in shaping us and let us endure whatever we have to do, looking forward to our change. When Jesus Christ shall return, because he will return to those who would have been made perfect through righteousness.